Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Would you open God's book, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and specifically verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Isn't it a great thing to be able to worship God? I sometimes think about the fact that God could have made us isolated Christians, you know, where that we maintain a Christian life separate and apart from any organization or group like we're with this morning, but how much better it is, how much encouragement are you deriving from being with people of like faith right now, singing together and praying together and eating the Lord's Supper together and studying the Word. It builds us up to be together, and thank God for His church. Thank God for His church. Now, I want you to hold that passage on your lap, and I want you to think about this. You ever wish that there was something that you could really give to God and then think, but what could I possibly give Him He doesn't already have? I mean, in Matthew, the second chapter, you read about the birth of Jesus, you know, and the wise men came and they brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they laid them there beside the Master's crib, and you say, I want to do that. If I could bring Him a gift, if I had some way to give Him a gift, wouldn't that be just great? But what can I give God? What can you give God that He doesn't already have? You know, the earth is His. All material things are His. You're His. Psalm 100 says, we are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. He owns everything. Wouldn't it be great if we could give something to God? Hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it. Why did God give you the capacity to sin? I mean, wouldn't it have been easier if God, in making human beings, had simply made us incapable of sinning so that we always did righteousness and we never messed up? We never committed sin against God. Couldn't he have done that? Couldn't he have made us incapable of sin? Why didn't he do that? Well, the answer is that he needed for us to be able to have the choice. You see, if we didn't have the choice to choose wrong, we also wouldn't have the choice to choose right. And you see, that's the point. What God wanted was to give people the choice, to make them free moral agents, to give them the choice to be able to follow Him because of their own free will. I love God and I choose to follow God. You know what you can give Him? Is described in the Bible with the word glorify. To glorify God is synonymous with honoring God. It means the same thing. When we give Him honor, we are glorifying Him. I think that's fascinating. Now, there's a difference between worshiping God and glorifying God. Glorifying God is much broader than our worship. Sometimes people make the mistake of saying that all we do in life is worship. If we're Christians, all we do in life is worship. Well, that simply isn't true. It is true that all we do in life is glorify God as Christians. The passage on your lap says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, this is so very broad, it's like he's just exclaiming this. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's all-encompassing. There isn't anything left after that. The point is that in my life as a Christian, everything that I do ought to be to His glory, to His honor. But worship is a much narrower thing. Worship is something that has the punctuation of a beginning time and an ending time. First time worship is used in your Bible is Genesis 22 and verse 5, where Abraham says about he and Isaac, and he says to the servants, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's very interesting. They weren't worshiping now. They were going to the mountain up the mountain for that purpose. They would go and worship, then come back again. And so, worship is something with a beginning time and an ending time. All right? And when we worship, as we're doing this very moment, we're glorifying God. There's no question about that. We're honoring God, obviously, by our worship through Jesus Christ. My point is that glorifying God is a lot, it's more than just worshiping Him. We glorify God with our lives, with everything that we do. So the question is, what can I give to Him that He doesn't have? What is it that I have to give to my God as a gift? And the answer is my life in His glory. I live to glorify Him. Now, that's my choice. It's not something that He coerces me to do or manipulates me to do or forces me to do. It's something which I choose to give Him. And by virtue of the fact that you're here this morning, you're demonstrating that you care enough about loving God to glorify Him. What you're doing this morning is glorifying Him. What we need to do is glorify Him with our lives. Now, here's the sermon. I went through the text, and there are a number of different places where specific things are mentioned which glorify Him. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to hit on several of them. Several things. And the reason, really, I guess, is do you sometimes do things, and I don't mean to toot your own horn or to boast, but aren't there things that you sometimes do in the service to the Lord, and you have this feeling that what I'm doing right now, I know is pleasing Him. And it's very gratifying. We've gone to some of these faraway mission places, and sometimes I've never been under sniper fire, but sometimes, you know, we'll go to some places that are somewhat dangerous, I guess, and some places that are way yonder out of my comfort zone, and sometimes but we go in to teach people about Jesus. We teach them about His church and how to go to heaven. And there are moments when I do that, and I think this gives me the feeling that this pleases God. I know that what I'm doing this very moment is pleasing to God. I believe that about you. And here are some things that the Bible says glorify God. Number one, when I work and I'm happy to be a Christian, I'm glorifying God. And here's what Jesus said about it in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 16. He said, "You're the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It gives light to all that are in the house." Here it is. Now watch this. "Let your light so shine before men that they may..." You know the rest, don't you? "That they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, what's really interesting about this verse is the word "good." That they may see your good works. Now, there are two different Greek words for good. One is kalos. And kalos is different from the other. The other one just means what you would think. It means of good quality. But this one means not just of good quality, but that which is beautiful, attractive, and winsome. All right? So, that they may see your attractive works. I mean, I suppose a person could do good works as he goes through his work days, his occupation, and be around people and all of that. I suppose he could do good works, but do them in such a way that it's not really very attractive. It's not really very beautiful as Christian activities go. Attractive to people to say, "Look how he lives, and I'd like to be like that." But then there are those activities, and we carry them out in such a way that we're happy to be Christians. Are you happy to be a Christian when you're at work? I don't mean that we walk around everywhere with a placard that says, "I'm a Christian," you know. I don't mean that. We don't act like the Pharisees did in Matthew 6, you know, that blew the trumpets when they were going to pray. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you know, we're never ashamed to be Christians. And we're happy as Christians. And we do things for people, and we do good works for people because we're Christians. And the word for good here means attractive, and it means beautiful. And here's a way that we glorify God. We glorify God by living this way, and the result is that other people glorify God from seeing us do it. You see, what are we doing? We're letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. When am I glorifying Him? When I'm working my job, and I'm with other people or in whatever course of life I am, and when I'm with other people and I do those good works and I'm happy to be a Christian, not ashamed of Him, never ashamed of Him, but happy to be a Christian, I'm glorifying God. Number two, when I do, and I put this in quotes, but it's the way we phrase it, when I do church work, I'm glorifying God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end." How about that? In other words, the church of Jesus Christ is the place, I mean, here's the nucleus of the world's glory to God through the church. Now, sometimes I've been around Christians who are members of various civic organizations, and they do lots of good things, clubs and the sort, and those sorts of things, and they do really good works. But you know what? While that's not a wrong thing to do, I think you could do something better. To take those monies and those resources and those time consumptions and use them in good works in the church, in church work. Now, what's the difference? Both of them are doing good things, and both of them are carried out by Christians. But the difference is, in one of them, a human organization gets the benefit or the praise for that. In the other one, God gets it. Because this is the church of Christ. I want to validate you. I want you to think about the fact that when you're doing what you do in the church, in church work, and I'm not talking about here in worship right now, I mean outside of worship. When you do the kinds of things that you do in the church, in church work as we call it, you're glorifying God. Well, so what is the purpose? What is the meaning of this meal I'm preparing or dishing up? What is the meaning of this little stuffed bear that I'm sewing and stuffing? It's going to go to the police department or to the emergency services. What's the purpose? What's the meaning of the work that I do on this meeting house when I make repairs or when we lock the doors or when we clean it, keep it presentable and repaired and in good condition? What's the meaning of that? When we visit the sick, what's the meaning of that? What's the purpose of that? And the answer is, we're doing work in the church, and that work glorifies God. I mean, it's not illegitimate for you to do this and say, this feels good because I know I'm doing something that honors my God. Number three, I glorify God when I suffer because of my Christianity and I don't give up. Here's 1 Peter chapter 4. Remember, beginning in verse 14? 1 Peter 4, verse 14. "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him..." Are you ready? "But let him glorify God on this behalf." What? It's real simple. There's just no praise involved. There's no glory involved in just suffering. I may suffer because I do something wrong and I'm penalized or I hurt because... That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if we suffer as a Christian. You think people suffer as Christians today? Are there occasions when people suffer as Christians? Oh, the answer is certainly yes. Well, you're sitting this morning in a room with some folks who are suffering because they're Christians. There are folks in this room who have recently become Christians, and young people and their parents, they have little patience for this. They don't appreciate it. They don't believe it. And if they could change it, they just wouldn't condone it at all. And some people suffer like that because of their own family members. Jesus said that was going to happen, you know. Some people suffer because of their friends who just don't believe this notion that religion really ought to come from the Bible. I mean in a serious way where we really say this is God's Word and this is how He reveals Himself to us, and so this is how we ought to do it. A lot of religion's not based like that. A lot of religion is based on sort of a salt and pepper, you know, the religion with the Bible, but that's not really what the religion's from. It's not really a thus saith the Lord, let's go back to the Bible to do it His way. Sometimes people suffer from co-workers who choose to believe immoral things and to live immoral lives and to give a hard time to Christians who just don't hold that homosexuality is okay. It's interesting, isn't it, you know, in this old world of ours that it's come to the place where if a man stands up and says, by the way, I really believe homosexuality is a grievous sin against God, the practice of homosexuality is sinful, that he really may suffer persecution. Are you ready for that? That's where we are, isn't it? Did you read today's newspaper, by the way? Scottsboro High School got their prom and a couple came, homosexual couple came. A lot of the people got up in arms and said, you know, this isn't right. This is immoral. This is wrong. We can't do this. Government says you will do it too. Yes, you will. That's why we better be careful when we vote for people. You say morals don't matter. I tell you they matter. Are you kidding me? They matter. But I digress. Do people sometimes today suffer for their faith? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Despite the fact that we live in a time where perhaps we don't suffer like people of the first century suffered, people do suffer for their faith, and sometimes you will. And when you do that, you'll glorify God. And how long will you do that, Christian? How long will we be willing to suffer whatever it costs, whatever the cross is that we must bear to stand up for our Lord and to be Christians, to live this life? How long are we willing to do that? And the answer is till death. The answer is until we die. So John chapter 21 and verse 19... the Bible's talking about, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, you know, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to. But when you're old, when you are old, your arms are going to be outstretched, and men are going to carry you where you don't want to go. He was talking about a crucifixion, the crucifixion that Peter will undergo. And he says this, and the Bible says that Jesus said this, signifying the kind of death with which Peter would glorify God. How long, O Lord, will it be true that suffering for what is good and right and suffering for the cause of Christ is going to glorify God? And the answer is, until we go on to the other side. That's how long. Number four, what glorifies God is people growing in their faith. Christians growing and getting stronger. In John chapter 15, the first 8 verses, Jesus says that He is the vine and we're the branches, and that we must stay attached to Him, and in that we grow and we bear fruit. And He says in verse 8, when you do that, God is glorified. In 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be, watch it now, glory both now and forever. Are you glorifying God in this way? Well, let's ask it a different way. Are you growing since? Have you grown since a year ago? I mean, if you look at 5 years ago, say 10 years ago, are you a stronger Christian now than you were then? How about your worship patterns? Are your worship patterns better now than they were a year ago, or are you haphazard about it? And you know what? I'm not really growing. Which is it? What about your study habits? Your Bible study habits? Are you growing? How about your prayer habits? Are you growing? How about the comfort with which you speak to others about the Lord and discuss things of a spiritual nature? Are we growing? Are we getting stronger as Christians? How about my faith in reference to thinking about death and my confidence in my Lord in reference to that subject, and then He's going to carry me to heaven? Am I growing? Am I growing as a Christian? And sometimes around here we see some great evidence of this, and I just love it, of course. One of our young ladies came to me last week, and she said, Glenn, I was in this class at school, and the teacher, this girl is, I don't know, she's 18, 19, or 20, she said, and in my class, the teacher raised the subject of the Bible and talked about how little people know about the Bible and started asking questions, you know, who can say all the books of the Bible? And she said, I can. Great. That was kind of rare in that class. And how many of you know where things are found in the Bible? How many of you know where creation is? And how about heaven? Faith? Ten Commandments. You know what? That's gross. Knowing more and more about the Bible is growth. And what I'm saying to you from these passages is that when we grow as Christians, and it's not always quick, you know. I mean, you ever plant a seed in the spring? You till up the ground, you fertilize, and you plant the seed, and then, you know, wouldn't you like to see it right then? But of course you won't. It's got to have time to grow. And so it is spiritually. And this takes time, but I need to be able to look back over the last period of time, whatever it is, and say, you know what? I'm growing. I can tell that there's something stronger in me now than I was then. I'm growing. And when I do that, and I must do that, I'm glorifying God. Here's number five. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I must glorify God in my body. And what that means is that I must use my body in ways that God approves. Now, that's not so very complicated. And the fact of the matter is, we all know ways that we could use our bodies that do not glorify God, right? I mean, you think about someone who consumes alcohol, beverage alcohol, as a drinker. You say, wait a minute, you know, you're not using your body in a way that glorifies or honors God. Here's a woman who dresses in skirts or shorts that are very short and low cut and revealing clothing, and it's immodest apparel. It's just immodest. And this body that God has given for her to please her husband, she uses to show others, you know. And men, there's men around her who are trying to keep their minds pure and live a sanctified life, but she's making it very difficult for them because she dresses in an immodest way. You know what? She's not glorifying God with her body. She's dishonoring God with her body. Right? We live in a time right now where sexual promiscuity is so very broad. I mean... You look at the statistics today of sexually transmitted diseases, and the statistics just knock you over how common this is. And you think about unwanted pregnancies and those households, the numbers of households today where you have children but no daddy, no father present in the home, and the numbers are simply staggering. You read about teenage promiscuity. You know, the fact of the matter is that until the trumpet blows, this is going to be a true statement. Fornication dishonors God. It's not an honorable way to use our bodies to His glory. The fact is, Colossians chapter 3 says, not only does it not bring honor to God, it brings His wrath. Fornication, among other things, adultery, draws the wrath of God. That's what the Bible says. That's not what we're about. What we're about is honoring Him with our bodies. Everything I do with my body ought to be something that is to His glory and not something which He would disapprove. Are we doing things with our bodies today that God would disapprove? What about addictions? Stretch your imagination. When I do things that put me under the power of something else, where I can't keep things straight here, I mean, because I'm under the control of something else. I've got to be doing something that I'm addicted to. Is that to God's honor? Does that glorify God? The answer, of course, is no. Number six. I glorify God in my spirit. I'm glorifying Him when I work to have a good and godly gentle spirit. Is this descriptive of you? Back to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What about my spirit? I want to know about your attitude. Funny thing about this is you can do all the right things around people, but if you have a bad attitude, they're never going to believe you're a Christian. Right? Am I working on my attitude? Now see, this may be, for some of us, the greatest frontier, the biggest challenge, a Herculean challenge, to get my attitude right. To have an attitude that, and can we just say it this way? Are you ready? Do I have an attitude, a spirit in me that glorifies and honors God? or not? How am I doing on this? I really love what Peter had to say about it in 1 Peter chapter 3. The context is that you've got a believing Christian wife and she's married to an unbelieving husband. And he says, and he's talking about different ways, attitudes and characteristics. And then he talks about the way that she dresses. And he says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. It doesn't mean that she shouldn't try to be beautiful for her husband. That's not the point. The point is, though, you take a woman who is so absorbed with the outward beauty that she's got darkness on the inside, and she's not a credit to her husband. She's a detriment to her husband. All right, he says, don't let that be the focus of your outside things be the focus of your life. But Peter says, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, are you ready for this? Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What about your spirit? And is your spirit that which would glorify God? Because there's a way we can do that. When I have a godly and gentle spirit in me, that honors Him, that shows Him honor. Galatians 6 and verse 1, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There it is. There's a demonstration of that kind of spirit that I'm talking about here. All right, number 7. You know when I glorify God? When I acknowledge my pending death and I do that with faith, that honors God. Can you do that? Do you do that? I'm convinced the Apostle Paul probably never ever really talked about leaving this life or about his own death without expressing his faith. I mean, that's just a natural thing with the Apostle Paul. And you find a number of passages. One of my favorites is 1 Corinthians 15:42-43. And in this passage, Paul says, he's talking about the resurrection hours. And he says, and you know that the cemetery is not permanent. When you're buried in the cemetery, that's not permanent. The Bible teaches, well, it's just rental property, you know, because you're not going to stay there. When the trumpet blows, the Bible says that all that are in their graves will hear His voice and come forth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:42-43, Paul is talking about the resurrection. And he says, and don't you love this? It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in corruption. He's talking about burying the physical body, but we're going to be raised, resurrected. There's the faith. I know that the Bible tells the truth. This is the Word of God. It is sown in corruption. That is, what we bury is subject to decay, but it's going to be raised in incorruption, not subject to decay, but it's going to live on forever and ever in a place of bliss. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. How about that? And so you have Paul talking about it. Is this true about us? He talks about his own demise and he says, I'm now ready to be offered. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up. But where are you going, Paul? It's just a departure. I've got a destination. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. What about that? I'm going to heaven, I say. I tell you, I'm going to heaven. Because of Jesus Christ, because of His cross, because of my relationship to Him. I want to ask you a question. Would you just vow right now that for the rest of your life, you will never make reference to your own death without expressing your faith? I'm saying that glorifies God. Because it says, I know He tells me the truth. And I mean, this gets real serious. When we think about our own death, that gets real serious. Especially if you're getting older. We'll never say it. We'll never talk about it without expressing our faith. Number 8, I got to hurry. Number 8, I glorify Him when I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When I confess that He is the Lord, the true Lord, then I am obviously glorifying Him. Well, this is something which is explicitly stated in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, that every knees should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Christian, listen to me. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed to say His name. Never be ashamed to declare that you know that He's the Son of God. Never, ever be ashamed to own your Lord. Because when you own Him, when you own Him, and when you confess that He's Lord, the Bible says right then what you're doing is to the glory of the Father. Here's the last one. When a person chooses to repent of his sins and become a Christian and is baptized in a watery grave of baptism, Romans 6 says that we come up out of that water to walk in newness of life. That's to God's glory. That one probably doesn't surprise you, but there's an interesting verse over in John 7 and 29. It's talking about John's baptism. John the Baptist baptized people. And the Bible says that many of the publicans came and they were baptized of him. And then this little note, this little clause in the verse says, and when they were baptized, they justified God. Isn't it interesting? They justified God. As if he needs justifying, but you know the point. The point is that they affirmed that God was just by choosing to be baptized with John's baptism. And people who rejected John's baptism, he says, they rejected the counsel of God. So there's the opposite. Some rejected God's counsel, others justified God. Very much like the idea that we're promoting today, that they glorify God. The word confess in the Greek literally means to say the same thing as another. When I confess my sins, that's different from saying, I don't want to become a Christian. I won't be baptized. And you know, people have been doing that a long time. And you think about the Spirit in Adam. You remember back in Genesis, and Adam said, in reference to his sin, how do you treat your sin? How do you view your sin? Adam said, the woman, okay, so I did wrong, but the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit to eat. The implication of which is, you know, this really isn't my fault. This is your fault, God, because you gave her to me. And so I can go through my life and I can go with this philosophy that says, you know, I may not be, I'm not perfect, but I'm not so bad. And there are a lot of people worse than me, and so I don't need to become a Christian. All in all, I think I average out pretty good. But then there are those who say, when they know the Word of God, I know I've sinned. And when I confess that sin, and then I come to Jesus Christ, I repent of that sin, I confess that He's Christ, and I submit to water baptism for the forgiveness of my sins. You know what I'm doing? I'm honoring God because I'm saying, you're right about this. That this is my sin, and I own this sin. And I need you. I need what you've got from that cross to forgive me. And to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and Lord, we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know You're the only hope I've got. When I'm baptized, that's what I'm saying. And no wonder then that such an action is to God's glory. I'm going to wrap it up with this. I really want you to get this because this is important. Your chief objective in life is to glorify God. I'll sum it up. You know, Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes 12, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. That's right. Why am I here? Why am I here on this earth? And what is my purpose? And ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that question is, I'm here to honor God. I'm here to glorify God with my life. It isn't true that everything we do in life is worship. Worship is an activity that is punctuated with a beginning time and an ending time. But it is true that everything I do in my life, the way I live my life in my family, at my job, in my recreation, in my interaction with people I don't even know, I can live to God's glory and to His honor. Is there someone here who's ready to become a Christian? You can honor God this morning by confessing the name of His Son, and we'll immerse you into water for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you like to obey the gospel? Now is a great time. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.